Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We give God the highest praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for life. Thank you for opportunity. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We have a spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We believe the Bible on tonight that all things are working together for our good because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. So, God, we thank God for this midweek Bible study. We thank God for those who have called in. We thank God for the word that's about to go forward. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for being with us in this time, in this Bible study, in this teaching. And Father God, we thank you for revelation. Thank you for a greater understanding and, glory be to God, knowledge. We need knowledge from above. We need your knowledge, God. So illuminate our understanding, for your word declares that if we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So help us on tonight, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we give your name honor. We say amen. Hallelujah. Wow, I get excited about just coming together and opening up the Word of God. There's nothing like falling in love with the Word of God. If you don't read your Bible on average or on a daily basis, try to develop that habit. Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels. There's just so much that we need to get into our spirits as we read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, rehearse the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, because he says his word will not come back void, but it shall accomplish what he purposed it to do. Amen. We're going to go right to what I want to share tonight, because it's so many scriptures I have in my spirit, but I know these I want to get to because they're going to lay the foundation for where we want to go. So if you can turn to the Gospel of Luke, let's first go there, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 11. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 11. And tonight I simply want to talk from this topic and from this thought, the power and purpose of prayer. I want to share some thoughts on the purpose of prayer and the power of prayer. All throughout the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, we've seen prayer working effectively. Amen. Even in the life of Jesus, we see that on many occasions, the Bible notes that he went away after rising up early before morning to pray privately, to pray personally to God. And as he went throughout the land, healing the sick and opening up blind eyes and allowing the mute to speak and the deaf to hear, casting out demons, we get a glimpse of how prayer can work. Amen. And the disciples also noticed Jesus' behavior, his conduct, his ways. So as we look at Luke chapter number 11, let's look at what they ask Jesus in this 11th chapter. And we're going to continue to go on and talking tonight about the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. But in Luke chapter number 11, verse number 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. The disciples noticed that Jesus was powerful and effective, and they knew that the secret was his prayer life. I learned early on, even not being a Christian, one time I got in some serious trouble. And unfortunately, as we talk about prayer tonight, as we talk about the purpose and power of prayer, unfortunately, there are too many believers that only pray or see a need to pray, number one, when they're in trouble, and number two, when they have a need. And God is reminding us tonight that we should pray on the front end. Before the trouble come, before the need come, prayer gets us into a position and posture to be ready for trouble and when needs arise. Amen, somebody. If you have a pen, write these, because I'm going to get into what I'm going to talk about tonight, but if you have a pen and paper, write these five things down that I believe prayer produces. These are five things that I believe strongly that when we pray, prayer produces these things in our life. Number one, prayer produces persistence. Number one, prayer produces persistence. Number two, prayer produces patience. When we pray, it gives us patience. Number three, there is a peace that is manifested when we pray. Fourthly, when we pray, we receive power. And finally, prayer is one of those things that produces prosperity. Jesus had a limited amount of time with his disciples. So when he taught them something, or when he was trying to get across a lesson, he took sort of a shortcut. Not that the Lord's Prayer was a shortcut, but is known as a model prayer. First it says, Father. I'm reading from the NIV version. King James version says, Our Father. I shared with maybe you or at our church, I shared with the people when I was in a hospital, God says, say the Lord's Prayer daily, but make it personal. Say, My Father. Because we know that a father, a good father, take care of his children. Oh, my God. A good father is there looking out for the well-being of their children. So Jesus knew if he can get his disciples to look at their heavenly Father, God above, as a father, that puts them in relationship that this father would meet their needs. So it says, Our Father, my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, that recognizes the sovereignty of God. Yeah. The deity of God. Yeah. Hallowed be thy name. God, I know you're omnipresent. You're omniscient. You're omnipotent. You are God all by yourself. You are Elohim, creator God. You created everything. Humanity, the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the land, the earth, the galaxy, the universe. You are Elohim, creator God. You said, let there be, and creation had to obey. And then it goes on to say, forgive us of our sins. Jesus was teaching his disciples, ask God for forgiveness. Because with a pure heart, when you're praying, God will move through that heart. God will move through your life. Not that we're ever going to be perfect, but when we repent, when we say, Lord, forgive us, Lord, we're sorry, we apologize for our wrongdoings, that moves the heart of God. Amen. We all fall short of the glory of God. Oh, I wish I had an amen on the phone tonight. I'm speaking to myself. Sometimes there are sins known and unknown. But Jesus covers it in the Lord's Prayer. He says, ask God for forgiveness. Then he says, go ahead and forgive those who have sinned against you. He was trying to tell his disciples, listen, ask God to help you to coexist with humanity. Learn how to live with other people. Learn how to get along with other people. Learn how to relate to other people. That means we got to forgive those who have hurt us.
Yeah.
Learn how to like those who don't like us. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Learn how to live peaceably with all men. Jesus covers so much in this prayer. Then he says, give us today daily bread. God, feed us today. I'm not going to even get into tomorrow. God, give me enough food for today.
Amen.
Remember in the wilderness where he gave them manna? He said, you'll have enough for one day. But if you store it up, if you try to reserve it, if you try to save it, it's going to turn to worms. It's going to turn into maggots. And they tried to store it up, some people in the camp of Israel, and they looked at the manna, and it was maggots. Because God wanted them to rely on him daily. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. God tried to get his people to put their trust in him. And finally, the Lord's Prayer. Again, we're talking about the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer tonight. It has power when we pray, and there's a purpose why God wants us to pray, why there's a need for prayer. He said, lead us not into temptation. There are some things that we won't even be tempted with. There are certain things that God won't even allow you and I to be tempted with. When we say the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. God, don't even let me go down that road.
Amen.
Because God knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities better than we do. And Jesus said, through the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all kinds of evil. So as they asked Jesus to teach us how to pray in Luke chapter 11, he said, don't pray like other people, but go ahead and say the Lord's Prayer. And as I said, those five things, persistence, patience, peace, power, prosperity. Let's look at an example of the persistence that prayer produces. If you're still in the book of Luke, go to chapter number 18. If you're still in the book of Luke, go to chapter number 18. Jesus was always teaching, always trying to get his disciples to be prepared for his departure. Here in Luke chapter number 18, looking at verse number 1 also, if you're there, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. He gave them this example of this parable to teach them that they should always pray and never give up on prayer. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to the judge with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with coming to me constantly. And the Lord said unto his disciples, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for those who have chosen him to cry out to him day and night? Will he not keep putting them off? I tell you the truth. I will see that they get justice and that they get their prayers answered quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Say the word persistent. If you go back and read Luke chapter 11, after the Lord's Prayer, He said there are two people who were friends. And there was one friend who was asleep. His kids were asleep. He closed his door. They were in for the night. But his friend had a visitor that came unexpectedly, and he had nothing to give him. Jesus gave this parable, and he said when that friend went to the other friend to ask for bread, the friend said, no, I'm not going to open my door. Me and my family are asleep. Come back tomorrow. I'm tired. He said, but that friend kept knocking, kept asking, kept wanting, and he said, would that other friend not get up and give him what he wants? Persistent. Then he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and a door will be made open. If you go back and read Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Persistence. Then he goes on to say, how much more would our Father, who is good, give us more than our natural biological parents who are evil? And then in Luke chapter 18, as we just read, the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer, this woman was persistent. She kept coming to the judge. She kept getting on his nerve. She kept asking. And he said, she's going to wear me out. So let me just give her what she wants. So persistence. And then there is patience and peace. Look at Philippians. Go and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I'm going to combine these two together. Patience and peace also is what prayer produces.
Amen.
Philippians chapter number 4. The power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. His disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because we see you getting good results. We see you doing some powerful things. And we know you always go away to an isolated place to pray. And that's one thing I want to share with everyone on tonight. Yes, we have intercessory prayer on Tuesday night. Yes, we come corporately to pray. But trust me, your personal and your private prayer life is very important. Your personal and your private prayer life is very important with God. I'll never forget, I'm going to share this and we're going to move on and look at Philippians chapter 4. But although we pray now at night, every Tuesday night we pray on the line using technology. But when we were on First Street, we would go out at night at 7:30, have pillows, go on the floor, get on our knees and pray. Somebody would be on the mic praying. We would pray in our heavenly language. We would intercede. We would cry out to God. We would be on pillows. Mother Maggie, Mother Mae Thomas, Mother Hattie, the older women, the younger women, the young men, the old men, and we would pray. But people of God, can I tell you, and we did that for years, at night. But at first, Pastor and I had the great idea of praying in the morning because we tried to do what Jesus did. And we would go out to Elizabeth, that's where our church was, lift up those metal gates, 6 o'clock in the morning, and pray. We would wake up the neighborhood. We would be so loud. And one time, Pastor Rebecca was driving. She said she was so sleepy trying to get to Elizabeth to pray, and she could barely keep her eyes open. So we moved the morning prayer to night. But we knew the importance of prayer. Amen, somebody. We tried to follow the biblical mandate and the biblical example, but now we pray at night because it's more doable, it's more feasible. But that's how prayer was birthed at New Creation Church, and now our Tuesday night prayer is a powerful thing. But Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse number 6. Again, it produces when we pray, the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. It produces, number 1, persistence, number 2, patience, number 3, peace of mind. Right here in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Some translations say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, yes, people of God, the word says peace, and the peace of God, which pass all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I get peace in my mind.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
If I try to worry about bills, if I try to worry about problems, what's going wrong with the church, what's going wrong in life, if this will work out, if that won't work out, I get peace in my mind when I pray. When the enemy tries to trouble your mind, pray. When the enemy tries to get you to worry, pray. When the enemy tries to get you to stress out, pray. We got to pray. The Bible says we'll get a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm getting excited about the Word of God tonight. Because life is hard, people of God. Life is challenging. Life is difficult. Life is not easy. But I believe life is what we make it. Life is 90% of what happens to us. And it's 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react and respond to what happens to us. Let me say that again. It's 100% total, but life is 90% of how we respond and react to the 10% of stuff that happens to us. That's why prayer, it's never time wasted. It's simply time invested. Oh, my God.
Amen.
When we call in on Tuesday night, it's not a time of waste. It's not wasted time. It's invested time. I'm investing in my future. I'm investing and taking time out of my busy life to pray and to be prayed for. We got to pray. Jesus said, looking at Luke chapter number 18, men, women ought always to pray. But will the Son of Man find faith as he returns? The power of prayer, the purpose of prayer. Jesus did it daily in his ministry, and he opened blind eyes, he cast out demons, the sick were healed, and the disciples saw how powerful he was. Let's look at an example of the disciples learning a valuable lesson about prayer. Y'all know the story very well. This man had a demon-possessed son, Mark chapter number 9. He had a demon-possessed son in Mark chapter number 9. We're going to look at this. And the disciples, they tried to pray, but their prayers wasn't working. And Jesus gave them a valuable reason on why their prayers were not effective. As a young man, I got in some serious trouble, and I went to court one time. And my mother, I was not in church. I was not a Christian at that time. But I remember my mother saying the power of prayer and that prayer works and how any and everybody can pray. And I'm in the court, and the judge has my case, and I'm standing before the judge, and I'm praying. You know, there's a lot of people in court that day, and I'm praying. And I'm just praying, hoping that this thing turned out for my favor. And long story short, the judge just made me pay a small fine, got my insurance restored, registration, inspection sticker, everything got restored. I kept my job at FedEx because I believe that prayer works. I didn't give God credit that day. I didn't say it was because of my faith. I didn't say it was because of my belief. But I knew that the principle of praying and prayer, nobody could tell me anything that day that prayer did not work. I prayed, and the judge gave me favor and a pardon. So even as an unbeliever, I knew the power of prayer.
Amen.
We got to pray. Maybe you're saying, well, Pastor Anthony, why aren't more Christians praying? If we know Jesus prayed and it was effective, we know the disciples prayed and it was effective, why aren't more Christians praying? It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God says it himself through the man of God, Isaiah the prophet. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. That gives us an answer right there. I'm not talking about maybe you're on this line, maybe you're praying, but talking about in general, the multitude of Christians, the answer is right there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He says, if they humble themselves. If we're prideful, don't think we need to pray to God, don't think we need to go to God, it takes humility to pray. It takes a humble spirit to pray. It takes humility to say, God, I need you. He said, if my people would humble themselves and pray. Are you in Mark chapter number 9?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be long-winded because I can't even get to half the scriptures I had in my notes tonight, but it's all good. Let's look at this. Mark chapter number 9. Look at verse number, I don't want to read the whole thing. Verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And when he asked the scribes, what question are you asking them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he tear him, and he foam at the mouth, and gnash at his teeth, and pinned him down to the ground. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast out this demon out of my son, and they could not. Jesus says in verse number 19, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long must I suffer with you? Right there, the disciples saw one of the reasons why they could not cast this demon, this devil, out of this little boy. Unbelief. Even the father later on, I'm not going to read it, but if you keep reading Mark chapter number 9, the father said, Jesus, if you can do anything for my son, Jesus comes back at the father and said, if I can, he said to the father, all things are possible for those who believe. And the father said, I believe, Jesus, but please, help my unbelief. When we pray people, God, we got to believe in our prayers. We got to believe that God will honor our prayers. We must believe in what we are praying, what we are asking God for. That's why when I said prayer produces patience, once we pray and don't see the manifestation, we must stay persistent. We must stay patient. We must stay in peace, because if he don't answer our prayers immediately, we got to be persistent. We got to stay patient. We got to stay in peace of mind, because sometimes our prayers are not answered right away. God takes time. He's the God of the whole world. And sometimes he's working out something over here so that he can work out something over there. Sometimes he's working out something in us so that when we work out that first thing in us, by the time he answers that prayer on the other end, now we're ready for what we prayed for and what we prayed about. So this man said, help our unbelief. And later on in the story, if you still in Mark chapter number 9, we're talking about the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. Mark chapter number 9, now look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. Go down to verse number 27. Verse number 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast out this devil? They asked Jesus privately as they came into the house, why could we not cast out this demon out of this boy? Verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can only come out by nothing else but by prayer and fasting. Jesus was telling his disciples, you got to pray. You got to fast. There are certain spirits in the earth realm that when you pray and when you fast, they must obey you. I'm ministering to myself tonight. When I was in that hospital diagnosed with stage 2 cancer, I prayed. God answered my prayer. Many of you on this Bible study right now, this Bible study, virtual Bible study tonight, you have seen prayer work. You've seen it work in your marriage. You've seen prayer work with your children. You've seen prayer work as far as getting you a closer walk with God. You've seen some prayer work as far as this world is concerned. Remember back in Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham asked God because God revealed to Abraham what he was about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin was so evil. He said, God, if there's 50 righteous people, would you destroy the city? No. If there's 40, would you destroy the land? No. If there's 30, God, Abraham pleaded with God. If there's 30 righteous people, would you destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? No. If there's 20, God, no. God, one more time. Just let me ask you one more time. God, I don't mean to wear you out. Please don't strike me down dead. But God, if there's 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you change your mind and not send down fire and brimstone? God told Abraham, if there is 10 in the entire region of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will repent and change my mind from sending down fire from heaven if you can find me 10. Because if he could find 10 people that were intercessors, 10 people that were prayer warriors, 10 people that looked to God, looking to the hills from which cometh they help, if he can find 10, we can save our cities. We can save our neighborhoods. We can save our states. Trust me. You got some righteous people all throughout the United States of America. I don't care how unrighteous, how ungodly the nation has become. There are some people praying. I feel the Holy Ghost. God has always a remnant. He always has a remnant of people coming to him, praying to him, believing on him and in his power. He told his disciples, listen, you got to pray. Let's look at another example of why we got to have purpose and when we pray, why we must have power, understanding the power and purpose of prayer. There's a purpose. If we don't understand the purpose of a thing, we will sometimes abuse a thing. If we don't think there's no power in it, we won't even act on it. See, a lot of people don't pray. A lot of people don't pray because they don't think prayer works. a lot of people who are not praying don't believe in prayer, and they do not, and they don't think prayer works. Prayer does work. I, for one, have seen it, and I'm going to continue to pray. He said, will the Son of Man find faith? I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to go there, but first go to, I want to look at this very quickly. Because Jesus, when he did his earthly ministry, sometimes he did things just to give them a visual of how they should live life once he's gone. Go to John chapter number 11. This is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Jesus could have did this privately. He could have prayed behind closed doors and got the same results. But we see that Jesus prayed publicly so that the disciples, Mary, Martha, the 12 disciples, and all of those who will follow Jesus, he prayed publicly, out loud, with a loud voice that they can hear him, to show them that they need to pray. The power and purpose of prayer. Are you in John chapter number 11? John chapter number 11, verse number 39. John chapter number 11, verse number 39. Jesus first was in a whole nother region. If you go back and read John chapter number 11, and he tells his disciples, my friend Lazarus is sick. I must go see and check on him. He said to his disciples, my friend Lazarus is asleep, and I must go check on him. And he said, Jesus, if he's asleep, why are you going to check on him? Jesus said to them, he's not actually asleep, he's dead. And I'm glad for your sake he's dead, because I'm about to show you the power of prayer. I'm about to show you, and you're going to become an eyewitness of how prayer is purposeful and prayer is powerful. So Lazarus, my friend, is asleep. He's sick. That's the first thing Jesus told his disciples. Then he plainly told them, no, I must go. I know they almost killed me there the first time, but I must go there because I'm on assignment. So he takes his 12 disciples. They said, let's go with him also. We might as well die with him also, because he's going back to the place where they tried to kill him already. But he had a purpose for them to witness the power of prayer. And God is saying to us tonight, sometimes you're going to pray privately and publicly. I mean privately and personally. But sometimes I want you to pray in a loud voice. I want you to pray in an audible voice. And let's just see what Jesus did in Luke chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. John chapter 11, verse number 39. It reads like this. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stink, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. First, he looked up to heaven, and he said, he looked to the sky, then the Bible says he said out loud, Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people that stand by, I said it loudly, that they may believe that you have sent me. Verse 43. And when he has spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Yes, I'm being loud for a reason. Lazarus, come forth. I feel the Holy Ghost. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I'm talking about the power of prayer, baby. I'm talking about Jesus praying to God in heaven. Jesus said, I know that you always hear me. But because of these people, I want them to know that when they call out to you, they're going to get similar results. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. When you cry out to God, he'll raise the dead. When you cry out to God, he'll move on your behalf. When you say to God, I need help, God will minister to you. When you go to God and look to heaven, God will answer your prayers. The power of prayer. The purpose of praying. Jesus said, this is not for me. This is for Mary. This is for Martha. This is for the 12 disciples who knew I waited 4 days. They knew I waited. While he was sick, I got the word that Lazarus was sick. But my disciples were in another part of the region, and they knew I did not rush to Lazarus' aid. They knew I waited for a reason. And Martha, you said he at this point, he stink. His body is rotting. His body is being eaten away with maggots and worms. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. I want you to understand before my departure why you need to pray, why you never give up on prayer. Not just when you get cancer, not just when you're in trouble, not just when you have a need, but pray always. Pray in the morning. Pray at midday. Pray before you go to bed. We got to pray, people of God.
Amen.
Pray for God to send his sheep back to the church. Pray for the unbeliever. Pray for those who have lost their way. Pray for the backslider. Pray for the person that's caught up in all kinds of sin. Pray for the people who have fallen from grace. We must pray. Sometimes I look and I realize I've been saved now over 22, 23 years. My wife and I, she got saved like a year after me. We came up in the same church. We got married in that church. We've been pastoring together now for 10 years. And she and I strongly believe in prayer. We try to teach it to our children and our grandchildren how God will never give up on us and we can't give up on God. And there are some people, you know, we wonder why we need to go to church, why we need to go to Bible study, why we need to pray on Tuesday night. Because out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes when we're not reminded,
amen.
When we don't have teachings like this in the forefront of our minds, I pray that this lesson tonight be a life changer for you. I pray that this Bible study tonight will challenge you on the seriousness of prayer. I believe that tonight, even with this lesson and the topic, the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer, Jesus, when his disciples were walking with him, the Bible says I don't think there's any account of Jesus praying with his disciples. But he always tried to tell them the importance of praying. Remember in Acts chapter number 2, we're not going to go there. But the Bible says they were praying on one accord, the day of Pentecost. and the Holy Spirit invaded earth. Cloven tongues of fire set on each one of them. They spoke in other tongues. Everybody from every different region, from every different nation, said they're speaking in our language. How could this be? It happened because they were praying. And remember, let's go here, because I need to close out. Let's go here, and then I'm going to close out with two more passages of scripture. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter number 22. Go back to Luke chapter number 22. And sometimes I want you to see right here why, even though I'm talking about praying, sometimes it's hard to pray. Prayer takes energy. Prayer takes effort. It's not an easy thing to do. Amen. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 40. Look at verse number 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn, and he went about a stone's cast away, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be willing, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And there he appeared an angel to him to minister to him and strengthen him. And being in anguish and agony, he prayed more earnestly. And the Bible says sweat was on his brow and like drops of blood was falling to the ground. And when he arose, he came back up from prayer. And he went to his disciples and found them sleeping. After three times, Jesus asked them to pray. He said, why are you sleeping? In verse number 46, rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. There's another translation, it's not here, but the Bible says three times he asked them to pray. In one translation, they gave a length of time, and I'm so glad they get a length of time. He said, can you not pray with me for 1 hour?
1 hour.
I'm telling you, prayer is not easy, people of God. It's hard to pray 1 minute. It's hard to pray for 10 minutes, let alone 1 hour. They were weary. They were tired. They were exhausted. They did ministry. Virtue came out of them. They were fatigued. And three times when Jesus came back that final time, he found them asleep. He woke them up and said, it's too late. I'm here being arrested. Now, I pray. I ask y'all to pray for me for 1 hour. Could you not pray for me with 1 hour? We say that on Tuesday night. It from that hour down turned to an hour and a half, but that was the intent of Tuesday night Bible study, to pray for at least an hour. And we got that from that text. Amen. Finally, let's close out right here very quickly. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we're done. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Very quickly, Matthew chapter 16. Finally, the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. Matthew chapter number 16. This is one reason we must pray right here, and we're going to close out. Matthew 16, verse 13. I'm not going to go to verse 13. I'm going to go to verse 16. But verse 13, he says, who do men say that I am? They said, some say the Son of Man, some Jeremiah, some Isaiah. He says, but who do you say I am? They said, you're the Son of the living God. He said, blessed you, Simon, Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. Look at verse number 19. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
Amen.
Whatever you loose on earth, it will be loosed in heaven.
Yes, yes.
So that's the key. I'm going to close out right there. The key is praying. Because Jesus said, what you bind, when you pray, will be bound. When you pray, what you loose,
amen,
will be loosed.
Amen.
So people of God, the key to success is our prayer life. What you bind, what you loose, You'll see results. Life and death is in your tongue. And Jesus has given us those keys. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 We praise God for that powerful lesson on prayer. And Pastor, I just want to pray because we did not pray yesterday. I just wanted to take a few minutes, just a few minutes to pray because I believe that there's an anointing in the atmosphere and the atmosphere as we release this prayer over our lives and over the lives of God's people. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, oh God. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the man of God, Pastor Anthony Simmons, who has taught us on prayer on tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for him pouring out and taking us through the scriptures, oh God, showing us the significance and the impact of prayer, oh God. So, Lord, we pray, Father God, right now, God, that this word, Father God, will not come back void. We pray, Father God, that your people, Father God, will be strengthened on tonight. No matter what they're walking through, oh God, we pray that you will give them the strength, that you will give them the courage, that you will give them, hallelujah, the faith, that you will give them the grace, oh God, to continue, oh God, to press forward, to continue to pray, oh God, to continue to ask, to continue to seek, my God, hallelujah, that they will have the grace, the power, the stamina, the perseverance, the persistence. To continue, oh God, to knock, to continue to ask for those things which have already been ordained in heaven before we even came into this earth realm. And Lord, I bind up every demon on assignment, even as Pastor said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, Lord, we bind up every demon on assignment against this prayer. Even as I was praying, I felt the spirit of strangulation, my God, trying to cut off my vocal cords. But I declare that somebody is getting a breakthrough on tonight in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That no weapon formed against your people can prosper. We declare and decree that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We declare every marriage is blessed. We declare that every family is blessed. We declare that your money is blessed. We declare that every bill is paid. We declare that you're in your right mind. We declare and decree, my God, healing over your body. By the stripes of Christ, you are already healed. Mama ko shala na na ma ko shala na deke. Eke ke shala mama. And Lord, we thank you. And we praise you. We come against the spirit of backlash and retaliation. We come against the spirit of sabotage and frustration. We come against the spirit of depression and discouragement. And we speak life. We speak Zoe over this prayer line. We speak Zoe over this Bible study. We speak Zoe, life, and life more abundantly, life overflowing, and life fulfilled, life with nothing broken, nothing lacking over the people, under the sound of our voices. We speak life over every family. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, oh God. Hallelujah, that we are moving forward in victory.
Yes.
More glory. Hallelujah. We are moving forward in victory. So, Lord, bless every person.
Touch every life.
Touch every life on this Bible study line, on this prayer line, God. And, Lord, we just thank you in advance, oh God, for what you have already done. And we give you glory. We give you all of the honor. And we give you all of the praise. Provide for that bill that needs to be paid. Lord, we send the money, oh God. Make that way, oh God, out of what seems to be no way, God. Take away that pain in that body. Mama Koshelele Kena Mama. In the name of Jesus, we declare supernatural healing. Lord, mend that marriage. Mend that marriage, God. Mend it. Mend the heart of the husband. Mend the heart of that wife, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Prosper that business, God.
Jesus.
Prosper that business, oh Lord. Lord, we thank you and give wisdom. Oh. Give wisdom to that person who is seeking direction. And Lord, we just thank you. And we praise you, God. Give patience to that young woman, to that woman who's waiting for her husband. My God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Jesus. Comfort every grieving heart on tonight.
Yes.
Touch my aunt Laura. Touch her body, God. In the name of Jesus, touch Sister Carmen's father, God. Give Sister Marie a favor, oh Lord. Lord, we thank you. Touch Sister Rita on tonight. Bless Jamal and his wife, Gail, God. In the name of Jesus, touch Diana. And touch, oh God, each and every person who has prayed with us and comes to this Bible study. Touch, oh.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you in advance for divine favor. God says, I'm releasing divine favor over this prayer line on tonight because of your diligence, because you came hungry and thirsting after my word. God says, I am releasing divine favor over your life, my God. Tonight, favor is coming to your house in the name of Jesus, and it shall manifest not many days from hence. It shall manifest, says the Lord. Oh my God. So Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Anthony Simmons. Thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for the faithful who come. Thank you for the visitor on tonight, God. And Lord, we just ask that you bless and bless indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. God bless you. We encourage you. If you need a word and you haven't heard the word from this week, you can go over to our website and hear the word, the preached word from Sunday. It's a fixed fight. It's a fixed fight. The fight is fixed. And that's at nccmonline.org. nccmonline.org. And you can hear the preached word. It will be there for the next week or so. And then we will be putting up another word next week. So God bless you. We will see you all on next week. For those of you who are in the area, come and see us at New Creation Christian Ministries, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. And we look forward to seeing you. Our service is at 12:30. Connect with us on Facebook at Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and also on Twitter, Pastor Rebecca S. Look forward to greater. Look forward to greater things with this ministry and in your own personal lives. God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God.
All right.